Hi everyone, welcome to Diversity in Yachting on Yachting International Radio. I'm your host, Dumi, and today we are joined by the beautiful Gabby. Hi, Gabby.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
I'm great.
So you're currently on a boat. Pardon?
Yes. I said a little sweaty, it's hot out here.
Same, you have no idea how hot it is here, even though it's boiling. But it's boiling. So you are currently on a yacht.
Yes, I am. I just joined this boat.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. And how long have you been in the industry for?
So I made the career change in January of this year. So not even a whole year yet. Okay. And so far, it's been an interesting roller coaster ride, to say the least. You know, making a career change in the middle of a global pandemic was very different.
Girl,
I have some stories. When I'm a veteran and these new green crews coming in and they're complaining about whatever, I'm like, I started yachting in a pandemic. You have nothing to complain about.
And where I'm always interested to understand where people found out about yachting, how they found out about yachting, what brought them to yachting, like where did it all start?
It's, you know, it's different for everyone because it does depend a lot on where you grew up, what part of the world, what country. Because for some people, it's common knowledge. Like if you grew up in West Palm Beach or Fort Lauderdale, yachting has always been in your peripheral, you know. But it wasn't known to me. Even though I grew up in a Navy town, I grew up in San Diego, California.
Yeah.
But yachting was not on my radar. I didn't know it was a job you could do. I didn't know about being yacht crew at all. Wow. I started traveling, like backpacking when I was 25. And I didn't want to work on land anymore, or I didn't want to work in one place. Yeah. So I literally Googled how to travel the world for free, or something like that. Like traveling jobs. It was very straightforward, and, you know, articles and blogs popped up with different career fields, and yacht stewardess popped up, and I was like, ooh, yacht, that sounds fancy. let me see what this is about. And I fell into a rabbit hole of article after article, you know, YouTube videos, all of it. And I was like, I need to do that one day. Took me 6 years after I started my initial research to actually join.
That is crazy.
So it was always just a small idea in the back of my head, like, I'm going to do that one day, but I didn't make any moves to do it. Maybe, I don't even know why, you know, I don't know why, but maybe the timing wasn't my time yet. I don't know, but that's how I first heard about it.
Yeah. That's kind of the same as me. Like, I heard about it 4 years ago, and it just took me such a long time. I was more afraid than anything. I was like, no. Kept denying that I wanted to do it, but clearly it's meant to be, so here I am. But that is so crazy. So when did you land your first job?
I got my first job while I was in San Diego already. So I went on a Facebook group. Pardon? Yeah. Oh, I thought you were going to say something. I went on a Facebook group and typed in, does anyone know any yacht crew agencies or recruiters on the West Coast?
Okay.
A couple of names popped up. One was Fifth Avenue Landing in San Diego. Okay. And I reached out. I was transferred to different places because the woman I was looking for no longer lives there or works there, moved somewhere else. Yeah. Finally, I landed on this wonderful woman named Dawn. Okay. And we had a nice chat. And I told her about my experience, and she's a dock master, not even a recruiter.
Okay.
So she told me she knew some captains, and if anything popped up, she would put my resume forward. Yeah. And that's exactly what happened. And I started day working in San Diego, probably, right after the pandemic started.
Oh, wow.
So I had come to Fort Lauderdale.
Yeah.
The world started to end. It was spring break, and it was St. Patrick's Day, and all of the bars and restaurants closed. Boats stopped hiring, and I was like, I'm leaving. This is insane. So I went back to San Diego, and then shortly after, I spoke to Dawn, and she put me in contact with a couple captains, and I started day working. And like gaining that initial experience, you know, the basics and, you know, what it was like being on a yacht for the first time. And it just started to gain momentum from there.
That is so crazy. So how long would you say it took you to land your first proper job besides the day working? Like on your
first boat? It took me 4 months. Which I don't think is a long time. I've heard it took people way longer. But I think due to the visa situation, the B-1, B-2, the Shenzhen visa, and me having an American passport, I think it kind of helped.
Yes.
You know, because a lot of boats wanted people that were stateside already.
Yes.
So it worked out in my favor. So it took 4 months to get my first position.
Oh, wow. And that's your I mean, to get a job during this pandemic, firstly, is just a gift. It's a blessing.
So my own experience was the day working, and then luckily I have 15 years of hospitality experience.
Oh, wow.
Which is, I think, what propelled me into even choosing to go into yachting in the first place as well. So with my background in hospitality, I think that was enough to get my foot in the door.
Yes, which is true. That's amazing.
Yeah.
And what's interesting about you is that you also have, well, I don't have tattoos, but you have tattoos. And now that is the running topic that I see on the Facebook pages, and you know, it seems to be a little bit of discrimination, probably more than we think. Did you find, has there been a situation during these couple of months that you feel hindered you from getting a job because of your tats?
Yes. Well, that might be another reason I hesitated in joining. I have so many worries. One, I am a woman. I'm a woman of color, and I have tattoos. It just seemed that maybe those three things combined would, you know, ultimately hinder me into getting into yachting.
Yes.
But I'm not a quitter, and I am very competitive. And the more I get rejected, the more I want to prove people wrong. So I said I'm going to do it anyways.
Mm-hmm.
But the last few places I worked on land were high-end luxury boutique hotels. Right. And they welcome diversity, and they welcome tattoos or just different looks, because it's kind of hip, you know, like in New York City. You know, if I can work at Soho House in New York City, which is a members-only hotel, like, I can work on a yacht. I'm used to interacting with, you know, the upper echelon and, you know, people. So I'm like, why should this stop me? So that's what initiated some of my hesitation in the beginning. But I have two lovely mentors that are retired chief stewardesses, both married to captains. Okay. And they kind of give me advice and guide me through this. And they were like, times are changing. It's 2020. There's a boat out there for you. There will be a captain or an owner. That's fine. As, you know, it's more about work ethic and your attitude and your personality, which none of those can be taught.
Yes.
So you have all those three of those things. I'm sure someone will be able to overlook your tattoos. And with their encouragement, I'm like, I'm going to keep looking. But I have interviewed with several captains who everything's going great. And then the minute I say, I have, they'll be like, oh, yeah, no, the owners don't really like that. Or they'll ask me to send them photos first of my tattoos and then deny me. So it's weird, because I'm thinking, who made you the tattoo critic? What do you know about tattoos?
That also kind of confuses me, because it's one thing to ask for size, like how big is it, but then it's, like what
like, I don't of know. What? What I'm like, I mean, just think too, some of them to you what they mean, because they're dear to my heart and it says a lot about who I am, like yes. things I've been through, that it's very personal actually.
Yeah.
So it's kind of weird, and then especially to get rejected after you tell them what they are, then it's like, ouch, like I don't really care if you like my tattoos, I like my tattoos, and exactly. I think they're very tasteful, and I think they're great artwork, so it's kind of odd to have maybe someone that's from a different time or generation
yes
on the aesthetics of my tattoos.
Yes. And I also think, I mean, I don't understand or see how a tattoo can hinder you from performing your job, you know? Like,
it really has nothing to do with whether or not I can perform and interact with a certain caliber of people. It really doesn't, but I think that in some ways, yachting is still behind in the times in terms of aesthetics and look. Some people associate a certain look with higher class or luxury.
Yes.
And that doesn't leave much room for unique or diversity,
exactly.
which is unfortunate.
Yes.
Because some of these programs are missing out on amazing crew members
exactly.
that they could have had or could have brought some value to the program. But because of their own biases, or judgments or prejudice, that it gets in the way of putting together a really unique crew.
Exactly.
You know?
And then it just shows.
Recently, I was hired.
Yeah.
I might have told you already, but I was for a really well known yacht.
Okay.
And it was like my dream job. I actually turned down another position for this one because it had a great itinerary. It was a size boat I would want to work on, and it was a permanent position. So I've been freelancing all season, which is very difficult. And I was like, yes, finally, you know, the Lord answered my prayers.
Yes.
And I don't know if Captain really looked at my resume, because I was referred by somebody else, and he was going based on their recommendation because they have a good relationship. And it says small tattoos on my resume. This is the biggest one I have.
Okay.
So, you know, I'm very transparent about that.
Yes.
So when he picked me up from the airport, not to mention I flew across the country with 24 hours notice. So dropped everything to fly out the next day. And when he picked me up from the airport, he saw a tattoo on my hand. I have a small little tattoo on my fingers. And I was wearing long sleeves. And he turned pale, like he was gonna faint. He goes, you have tattoos? And I just got off the plane. And I was like, yes, I have tattoos. I have several tattoos. I have 22 tattoos. And he was like, oh my God, where are they? Are they visible? Can da da da? I'm like, I can wear long sleeves. I've done it before in the past. It has not been a problem. I have no problem wearing long sleeves. He's like, no, we don't do that on our boat. Like, he didn't even consider it.
Oh, no.
And so it was a little awkward, the whole car ride back to the boat, to the marina, because he was on his phone the whole time. And I think that he was scrambling, trying to find a replacement for me immediately in front of me. And, you know, he's older. I would say he's like 60 something, and he's from South. So I'm thinking, okay, he's used to the Southern ladies, Southern belle. I think I'm a little, I can be a lady. I'm saying that I think, you know, for a certain demographic, I look a little bit too edgy.
Yes,
with the tattoos and exactly. You know, normal is this big, it's curly, it's wild. I can tie it up, but you know, that just may just scare some people. Maybe I don't know. I speak to them, but yeah. So He's different. So he brings me aboard. I fill out all of the paperwork as if I'm going to be a permanent second stew.
Yes.
Did make a comment about my tattoos in the car, like, you know, I don't know if your tattoos are going to work out in this industry as interior. And I was like, what do you mean? And he's like, well, when you're serving a guest's plate, they're going to be looking directly at your tattoos. And I said, so? He's like, you know, that's just, you know, some guests might have a problem with that. And I was just thinking, like, I don't have explicit tattoos or gang affiliation. Like, why would some nice, like, writing offend somebody? But whatever. So I filled out the paperwork. I joined in the middle of a charter. So I helped him finish out the charter. The minute the guests got off the boat, he called me to the bridge and fired me. So him and the chief stew were like, we think you're great. This has nothing to do with your work ethic or your personality. The guests loved you. Everything was fine. You were great. But we're letting you go because of your tattoos.
Okay, hold on. So the guests loved you and your work ethic and your personality, but we're firing you because of your tattoos. But aren't we getting hired because of our work ethic and our personality and if the guests like us? I'm very confused.
Well, you would think, but it also has to do with the way you look.
So then it's a industry.
We put our photos on our CV, and in most industries outside of yachting, that's illegal.
Yeah.
And in most industries outside of yachting, you can't not hire someone because they don't look a certain kind of way. Because that is flat out discrimination.
It is.
Tattoos are a choice. So that's the only reason why I think that it's a gray area, because, you know, you can't change how tall or short you are, how thick or how thin you are, you know, or your hair. So that's a little bit more blatant discrimination. Tattoos were a choice, you know, so it's not, it makes it a little gray area, you know?
Oh, that's interesting.
So, yeah, so they said that, and I said, okay, well, were you guys happy with my work? And they said, yeah, we think you're great, and we're both willing to give you a good reference. But we can't have tattoos on our boat. And I said, as long as you're happy with my work, I'm happy. Thank you for the opportunity. And take care. And I left, like.
That's all you can do. That's all you can do. Really, at the end of the day, that is all you can do.
You know, of course, I wanted to say something. But why? You know, and to be honest, when, you know, I got paid, they didn't really include me in the tip pool. They gave me maybe like a quarter of the tip, but I thought, you know, I thought about it, like I joined halfway through the charter. The crew members that were there had been on the boat for a long time already, so they all deserved it. And I'm actually friends with all of them now, except for the chief stew and the captain. But, you know, I'm not going to complain because, you know, a smaller tip is better than no tip. Exactly. But I was like, not only did you, you know, make me think I was landing my dream permanent position, you fired me because of my tattoos, and then you kind of skimped on my tip. But you know what? What goes around comes around. And I don't need to say anything.
No, you really don't need to.
Yeah. So that's been the worst experience I've had so far in terms of my tattoos being a problem. You know, some people were like, what if it wasn't the tattoos? And they were just using that as an excuse. What if it was something else? And I'm like, well, if it was my work, I would hope they would tell me. But, you know, it, there's always in the back of your mind as a person of color, like, is it because I'm black?
I know.
Is it because I'm Latina? You know? And I have to try to, like, not go there first.
Yes.
Because for me, it's hard to think that that could possibly be it, you know? Yes. But it does cross my mind sometimes. I'm not going to lie and say it doesn't.
I know. And, you know, on that topic, I think in every single job that I've applied for, that's always been my worry. I mean, actually, predominantly people here are black, but I still worry about that because most businesses are not run by black people. And it's sad that that has to be in our head. And it should, you know, we should feel comfortable enough that I'm being employed, not, or I'm not employed because of something else, not because of the color of my skin. So that is
something. I was just gonna say, it's not our fault that it's in the back mind, because when you look at yachting magazines, you log on to yacht recruitment websites, you look on like all the yacht wear websites, all you see are white faces.
Yes.
And maybe one black person, or, you know. So when I was doing my research before getting into the industry, and all of the websites, all of the advertisements and everything, there was no black people that I saw. So sometimes when it's subconscious, so sometimes when you don't see people that look like you being represented in something that you want to get into, it can be intimidating. And then that little voice in your head is like, they probably won't hire me anyways, because I don't look like these people. I'm not 5'8" with blonde hair and blue eyes. I'm not, you know. So you think, you know, maybe that's an issue, because I'm not seeing any representation in any of these publications.
No. And I've
gotten a little better, like, the last couple years. You know? It's been getting, I've seen a little bit more, like, in certain magazines, but it's very, yeah, it's not enough. It's very noticeable. Even on Instagram pages that I follow.
100%.
And every time they post a photo, or if they repost something that someone sent in, it's always a predominantly white crew.
Exactly.
You know, so, and it's not just, maybe some people don't notice.
Yeah.
But I know. Because no,
you know, I think most of us.
Maybe I would have joined sooner. Maybe I would have joined sooner if I saw more representation of people that look like me.
I 100% would have. I mean, the first question I asked my friend when I finally decided to do this, I remember I was in a bar in Palma, and it was a crew bar. And I said to her straight, I was like, but where are the black people? Like, she's like, oh, yeah, you do find one. There's one at the dock. And I'm like, yeah, but this is a crew bar, and I ain't seeing nobody but So, where are the people of color? I mean,
where are the people? I know. Where it's
race people? So,
well, the girl that I met a girl the other day here in Fort Lauderdale. She's on another boat. And the first thing she said to me was, oh, another brown person. You're the only black person I've seen. I'm like, really? And then I thought about it. I'm like, wait, you're the only other black stewardess I've ever seen, to be honest. But it's cute because we have a little community around the world of other, you know, black yachties. Yeah. And it's nice. I'm not the only one thinking this.
Yeah.
And it's nice having support in that way, you know.
Exactly.
Because it's like people try to make you seem crazy. But when you have other people that are like, no, I've experienced the same thing, you're like, okay, all right, it's not just me. It's not me making this up in my mind. It's actually happening.
No.
Because it is.
It is. And truly, all we need is just representation. This is not an attack on any, you know, yacht management company or recruiting company. The reality is that the marketing is outdated. There's no denying that. It's pushing a narrative. Whether it's intentional or unintentional, I really couldn't care less. At the end of the day, there needs to be representation. I need to see that there is a person of color that's a black stewardess. I need to see a captain. I only know one, okay? And
is it a female captain?
Oh, no, there's the male one.
Well, there's okay, one, well, there's one black female captain.
But you see, this is what I'm saying. And it's just like the fact that we have to dig to find it just shows you that there is a lack of diversity. And this is not an attack on anybody. The reality of the matter is, right, let's have a conversation. Let's bring in representation so that we can invite more diversity and create an inclusive environment. Because at the end of the day, yachting is incredible. Like, I cannot wait to get on a boat, you know? It's a really such a cool industry. But they need to be diversity. And that's just that. No denying.
You know, I had a really lovely experience a few months ago on another temporary position I was in. I was a sole stew on a 95-foot boat.
Yeah.
And it was charter. And my first charter guest was a black family.
Oh, my God.
And they were from the same hometown as my mother.
Yeah. That's so cool.
And oh, I was just like so touched. They're just like, they're prominent dentists in a certain, you know, area.
Yeah.
And they're at the top of their career. Like, you know, they're just wonderful. They all went to historically black Ivy League universities, and as well as all of their children. They were just the, you know, cream of the crop.
Yeah.
And they were so gracious, complimentary, thankful, humble, and so nice. And on the last day, I was having a private conversation, just me and one of the guests, the female doctor of the bunch. Yes. And she was like, when I walked on board and I saw you, I was so proud. Oh. And I was like, oh my God, when you guys walked on board, I was so proud. And she's like, there's not a lot of Black people in yachting. So it was really coincidental that we ended up on the same boat. And I was like, yeah, you're preaching to the choir. I know. He was like, no, like, it's really inspiring to see you here, to see another Black face, and you're representing us well. And, you know, like, we're just really happy for you, and we wish you the best in your career. Yeah. And that was, you know, one of my second charters. And it was just really nice that I got, like, kind of emotional.
Yes.
You know, to be seen and recognized and someone empathize with you, because it's not just yachting. This happens in every industry. And, you know, I can imagine the hurdles that she had to go through to become a dentist, you know. Yeah. Yeah. So she understood. And I'm not going to be a neurosurgeon or something. It's just yachting. We're just cleaning toilets and serving alcohol. But in the same way, you still have that sense of pride. Like, despite the obstacles, I'm still here.
Yes.
You know? And it was just a nice reminder that, you know, I shouldn't give up. And, you know, unfortunately, in this society, I'm going to have to deal with this in any industry.
100%. It's not just yachting. It's everywhere.
Not just yachting, it's everywhere. So I'm just grateful that I have these opportunities. I'm finally on a boat where the captain himself has tattoos. So
there we go.
It's serendipity at this point. And I'm happy that I made the leap. There's hurdles and hurdles we still have to go through to make it more inclusive. But as long as we're just being honest about the way it is, hopefully it'll take some people out of their own complicit bias. Yes. And just acknowledge it.
Yes.
You know?
I think that's another, they just have to. And there's no point in people getting defensive. It's like, you know, we're not attacking any specific person. We're just saying this is society's beliefs and we need to alter those beliefs because they ain't true. So I think the conversation definitely has to be had. I think the way the conversation is had is important as well. You know, like I said, it's not an attack on anybody else, but specifically in yachting, there has to be representation, and there's no way around that. There's no debate on that, and there has to be a conversation. We need to see more people of color selling yachts. Are you telling me that there's not, like, at least 10 people?
I think there's 3.
No, 1.
No, I don't. I have one friend that personally met one of them. But I think there's maybe 3 total. And that's because I ask these questions. I'm like, where are they?
Google, tell me.
Yeah, so there's one that I know for sure, a guy, a Black guy. But it's interesting. It's interesting because you are South African, correct?
Yes.
So I've noticed that if I do see Black people aboard, that they have an accent, a posh accent. they're from London or from, you know, South Africa. Yeah. So I also, like, I've never seen really American Black people on boats because I'm like, well, if there is a Black person on board, they have a really posh accent.
Yes.
So that might even help them a little bit more.
Yes.
Because I sound like a Yankee.
No, and you know, it's interesting that you say that because language does tend to cause discrimination. I think language is an interesting thing because people tend to be less discriminatory when you sound like them and you sound as posh as them. And it just makes you realize it has nothing to do with the color of my skin at the end of the day.
Yeah.
So very interesting.
Yeah. So we'll see how this goes. I have a really good feeling about it. We're getting my ideal itinerary. So you know, I'm moving up in this world.
Girl, it's all about the attitude. It's all about working hard. It's all about the belief system. It's all about the energy you put out there, what you give out. You know,
yeah. And
I'm the universe and it's coming. That's it.
I've manifested this. I worked interior my first few jobs, but I really wanted to switch to the deck side. And on this boat, I'm going to be a deckie most of the time. And then when there's guests on, I'll be deck stew. So I can't complain.
No. I mean, it was just clearly meant for you, and it's only upwards from here.
Yeah.
That is amazing. Thank you so much for joining us today. Oh, is it cutting again? Oh, did it cut? Hi. You're back.
I am back.
You're back. I don't know what's going on. It just keeps cutting. I don't know if it's me. It's raining outside. It's just wild.
I have no idea.
All right. Well, I think we can. Wait, I can hear you. I can hear you. Shame Rhea's going to have to cut so much. I'm so sorry, Rhea.
Hi, Rhea.
Okay. So lastly, I just want to get into the hair situation. So I think hair, just growing up as a person of color and hair and just knowing, not knowing what's acceptable in, I'm not even talking about yachting, in every single, you know, working environment is probably one of the most stressful.
So stressful. It's so expensive.
It is
so stressful. This has been a lifelong struggle for me. I've always had a lion's mane, just big, curly, thick hair. And, you know, luckily nowadays it's more shown in mainstream media.
Yes.
Whether it's Instagram, on TV, there's a lot more, you know, biracial representation, as well as natural hair representation, which is nice. Like, I'm happy for, you know, my niece and nephew that don't have to grow up like I did, being self-conscious about my hair.
Yeah.
I've been asked to straighten my hair for certain jobs. I've been told that curly doesn't look polished. I've been told where I can't wear my hair down at work when other girls with straight hair wear their hair down. I was in the military, in the Army, actually.
Oh, wow.
And when I was at basic training, sorry, there's an airplane going by. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, so in basic training, we weren't allowed to purchase hair products or use hair products. No hairspray, no gel, nothing. But they expected us to have a slick back bun. And if our hair was not slick, we would be reprimanded. So they didn't allow the black girls to go purchase any relaxer, no products. And a couple years ago, it was actually made illegal to comment on whether or not your natural hair looks polished or professional. In the military, it's actually illegal to do that now. But when I joined, it was not. So it was very stressful. It's just been an issue. And there's been times where I want to wear my hair down, but I know that they would tell me that I could, just because it's big, probably it's, you know, it's a little wild, which I find really, really nice, but it is a lot of work. And then trying to shower in filtered water that's very harsh on your hair, it dries my hair out, it gets tangled. I'm trying to hurry up and shower so my crewmate can shower. I'm worried about clogging the drains because then the engineer is going to be barking at me. And yeah. I actually, like, showering, you know, induces a lot of anxiety for me when I'm working on a boat. Yeah. And you know, it can start my day off terribly if I spent 30 minutes untangling my hair.
Yeah.
So this time around, I decided to get my hair braided. It's a protective style. It actually protects my hair from drying out. I don't have to worry about it. I can just wake up and get dressed and go to work. So that relieves a lot of stress. It saves me money because I'm not spending $50 on expensive conditioner and then using half the bottle in one wash.
Yes.
And a lot of people won't know what the heck we're talking about.
No.
Because it's just hair. But it's like, no, I've spent $500 a month before on hair products, because when you're in a different area, sometimes they don't have products for black people.
Yeah. And it's so true. It's so true.
That's... So, you know, just being able to, you know, braid my hair and not worry about having to style it to up to a certain standard, whatever that is, you know, or being risk being told that my hair doesn't look neat or presentable. I just decided to get braids. And somebody asked me if she should get braids because she has the same hair as me. And I said, yeah, why not? And she's like, well, I mentioned it to the mate and he told me I shouldn't do that.
Okay.
And I was like, he, this is a man that told you that? What does he know? Does he even have any hair? Don't let someone understand your hair tell you how to wear it.
Honestly, and I think people really need to understand that braiding hair is a protective style for people of color. Like, sometimes your hair needs to be braided. And, you know, more than the aesthetical look of it, like, it would needs to be done. Like, some people use it to grow their hair or whatever the case may be. So for someone to tell that you can't
work in, like, sun. You work in sun, salt water, you know, and then the it's like all very harsh on our hair, which actually will make it worse. So trying to style it and look presentable is going to become more and more of a challenge because your hair is being damaged while you're working. Yeah. So this is going to keep my hair, you know, moisturized and protected from the sun and the salt water. And I'm going to be able to have confidence when I wake up in the morning and go to work knowing that I look presentable.
Yeah.
I don't know what I would do if someone told me I couldn't wear braids on a boat, but I would be very upset, I would think. I think I would be very angry.
Yeah.
To be honest. But
yeah,
so far, I'm really with the people that I'm working with, and it hasn't been a problem yet, or, you know, which I don't think it will be, especially on this boat. In the future, I'm not sure, though. I mean, I'm not showing up with, you know, hot pink highlights.
That's what I was about to say. Like, yeah.
A crazy style, you know, like, it's, you know, I think it should be allowed. And if I was ever told I couldn't work on a boat with my hair this way, I wouldn't want to work for that company anyway.
100%.
Because, it, like, what else do they think, you know? It's not going to get better from there.
No.
You know? So,
yeah,
we'll see how this goes, because the last few times I've had to wear my natural hair, it's been a nightmare for me. So I'm not doing that anymore.
Okay. And have anybody before commented on your natural hair, or has it just been, you know, your anxiety?
It's been mostly my anxiety.
Okay, that's
You know, off charter, when I finally let my hair out and people are like, whoa, I had no idea you had so much hair, because I wear a little slip tight. So they're like, how do you get all of your hair in that little bun? I'm like, I have very strong biceps and a lot of gel. But yeah, no one said anything negative so far to me. I haven't had to worry about that, but it's always in the back of my mind that if I wanted to wear my hair out curly, would someone say something?
I know, and I wish there was, like, just an open conversation about it, but I guess we just have to ask, really.
Right. I'd rather not ask. I'd rather pause later.
I know. It's just such a touchy, you know, it's such a difficult topic. Even for me, it's just like, it's a difficult thing because, you know, not everyone wants hair extensions. Not everyone wants a wig on. Like, I just love having, like, horse hair on my head. Like, I probably wore it like that. But, like, that's me. And some people, and some people just don't. So what about the people that don't want the hair that looks like, you know,
I don't know, but as long as we're talking about it and we acknowledge this, maybe we other figure it out, and maybe it'll bring awareness to captains and agents that change their view on natural hair, because natural hair is beautiful.
It's gorgeous.
Hair is beautiful. Hair and perfect, unkempt. It's just a different texture.
Yes.
You know, and I am not my hair.
No.
Either.
No.
So hopefully that evolves in the industry, as long with the inclusivity and diversity, and we'll get there. But like you said before, outdated, we're behind in the times, and that's what the problem is.
Yeah.
You know?
It's so true.
So
yeah. That's amazing. Well, thank you so much for speaking with us today. I mean, that was just like, it's interesting, and you're new in the industry and you're really killing it. And I really hope this boat works out for you. I mean, this has been a tough year for everyone. So I'm glad that, you know, you've got something that you've been accepted, and I'm sure this is going to be a great year. Well, end of year, hopefully.
Oh, okay. I have news. So my birthday is on Tuesday.
Yes.
Happens to be election day.
Happens to be a what?
So I'm election day in the United States. So I'm going to hide in my cabin and stay in, turn off all social media and the news, and I'm just going to celebrate being another day older and another year. So let's talk next year, see how I'm doing.
Well, I love that you're going to celebrate another year, because I mean, I'm very sure that I'm turning 25 again. Like, I'm just not going to recognize this year.
I know. Tell me about it. I'm like, how am I 33 years old already?
I don't know. You don't look 33.
How? This happened. I don't know. But
that's so crazy.
That whatever. So crazy. The older the berry, the sweeter the juice.
100%. Exactly.
Anyways, it was so lovely speaking to you, finally.
Exactly. Thank you so much for coming on. Okay, thank you everyone for watching Diversity in Yachting. Thank you, Gabby, for joining us. I will see you next week, Thursday, for another interview. Bye, everyone.